We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, America. Happy Friday, everybody. It's warm already. Man, is it warm. What is that, Tipton? Yeah, Tipton, 100 degrees. Walters, 100 degrees. Altus, 98 or 99. Hollis, 98, 91 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. We'll see how secret weapon does in the club championship this weekend. 94 at Arnett, 93's at Woodward, 93 at Cherokee out here in the panhandle of Texas, 97 degrees at Lipscomb, 98 at Miami, 99 at Dozer, 101 at Odell down there across Red River Bridge south of Altus. Had a rancher called in this morning and wants me to give a big shout out to all the fire departments that came to Reed, America last night and worked the fires. And he appreciates what you guys do. I'm guessing Mangum, Granite, Willow, Carter, Elk City. I tried to call the chief Carter this morning. He didn't answer. But anyway, I don't know what all fire departments helped out, but Mr. Robinson was very, very appreciative of what you guys did. Fires, of course, started by lightning, and there was some, I called Casey, and there was one a little bit east of the hospital or the schools at Cheyenne, and then one on down Kiowa Road over there towards Hammond. And they got them put out. And so a lot of fire started by the lightning last night. I was down at Hobart, Oklahoma last night, capital of Kiowa County. And yeah, pretty darn good rain while we were there. Let's see what the Mezzanet says. I didn't even look. Sorry, my bad. I should have looked. I'm guessing a half inch to an inch maybe. If anybody down at Hobart's listening and they want to text that in to me, it'd be pretty cool. I don't know how much you guys got, but I'm looking. Let's see here. Come on. There we go. It says, it doesn't say. Mangum got 22 hundredths of an inch, 45 hundredths at Hollis, about a tenth at Altus, and a half inch at Tipton, and Granville got about 3/4 of an inch. But I'm not sure. Anyway, nice rain up there between Butler and Hammond and Cheyenne in that area. Southwestern Oklahoma, I know you guys got left out last weekend, but it looks like you got a little bit last night. They were ripping and roaring through there. Like I said, Hobart's just a red dot on the map right now, so I don't know why it's not showing me how much rain you got. But anyway, nice shower at Granite and down through south of Willow. So anyway, got some good rain showers through there last night. So anyway, I went to the Oklahoma Farm Bureau district meeting as part of the Roger Mills County group, and it was a good turnout. The food was good. That cobbler, oh, my word, it was really good. So anyway, I brought a booklet back with me, and if you guys, even if you don't get your insurance, which they would appreciate it if you did, if you don't get your insurance through the Oklahoma Farm Bureau, you need to be a member. It doesn't matter what county you're in, whether it's Beckham, Tillman, Jackson, Roger Mills, whatever, become a member, because they do a lot outside of insurance for Oklahoma producers, ranchers, farmers, doesn't matter. And some of the stuff that's on the table this year is, looking through the book here, is I can rattle them off my head, but I want to go through order, is They got tax cuts and jobs acts is coming up. And they've also got some OSHA. They're working on, there's some laws coming in with the OSHA proposed heat rules, outdoor work sites, indoor work sites, when the heat index is 80 degrees or higher, 90 degrees and higher. So we need to pay attention to that because we can't have, it's hot outside. Sometimes work's got to be done, and common sense with a little bit of cold water and taking a break every now and then. But when they OSHA starts getting involved, it can make it kind of hard on employers. Also, the deal coming up this year that we talk about all the time on this is the Animal Disease Traceability Act with the tags and stuff. And I'll kind of tell you where the Oklahoma Farm Bureau stands right now on this deal. Animal Disease Traceability Act is a federal law that requires certain livestock to be identified when moved across state lines. One thing that they're talking about here is the, let me find this where they said this. We support keeping the livestock identification program voluntarily. In the event that the government makes the program mandatory, we support the government paying any extra expense involved. So that's where they stand out on this. And then I'm not going to get into this one, but there, the groundwater is another upcoming state issue that will be coming up in the next year or so. For everybody, it doesn't matter whether you got an irrigation well or water well or whatever, you need to pay attention to this stuff. And if you become a member of the Oklahoma Farm Bureau, you can keep up with this. And they've got the one that really catches my attention is the state question 832. Would amend Oklahoma statute to increase Oklahoma's minimum wage. Employers would be required to pay employees at least $9 an hour beginning in 2025. $10.50 per hour in 2026, $12 per hour in 2027, $13.50 per hour beginning in 2028, and $15 beginning in 2029. So beginning in 2030, the minimum wage would increase yearly based on the increase in the cost of living. So anyway, we all need to pay attention to that one. And then also you hear all this stuff about these transmission quarters, and the one in Oklahoma up north of us right here has come up on media more than once in the last couple of months. And I didn't know this until I read this last night, and I'm not up on government like some people are, but the Federal Power Act authorizes the Secretary of Energy to designate any geographic area as a natural interest electric transmission corridor if believed there's a lack of transmission in the area and new lines would advance increase electric reliability. So if they decide to come across that corridor that you've been seeing up there that's coming up in northwestern, northern Oklahoma, across the Panhandle and stuff like that, they decide to come up there, this one guy, the Secretary of Energy, with a stroke of pen, can make it happen, whether you like it or not. So we need to stay involved in that. And it's not, you can call it a land grab you want if you want, but it's, you know, it's one of these deals. So speaking with another individual there at the deal last night, you know, one of the things about this renewable energy with the solar panels and the wind towers and all that stuff is that, you know, when the sun's not shining and the wind's not blowing, our electric co-ops out here in rural America don't have the power because they're doing away with the coal power and they're trying to do away with the gas power. And when we have natural gas and coal powered plants, we had consistent energy. We always had it. But with these alternative energy with these wind towers and solar panels, you know, that's what this administration, the government, no matter who, wants us to go to is the green power. And when you don't have enough of it, you got to bring green power in from other areas. So if they need a transmission line across Woodward County, they're going to take it across there. They can do it with a stroke of a pen, whether you like it or not. And that's not cool with this cat. And so like I said, I'm not into that government policy like a lot of other people are. And I can get in trouble if I start talking about certain things on the deal. But anyway, it's just something. We need people like the Oklahoma Farm Bureau, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, and other associations that are going to bat for us when it comes to this crap like this. So, natural gas, one of the cleanest burning energy out there, and we have plenty of it. But guess what? We need to put wind towers up and solar panels. And am I against them? Yeah. I think solar power and wind power has their place, especially out here in rural America. But that's at my cattle tank with a solar panel. And on these locations where they're drilling for oil and natural gas, and they need these readouts in their offices back there. But these big solar farms and these big wind tower farms, yes, I don't like looking at them. I'm sorry. And I really think they're changing the weather pattern and a lot. And I don't blame the landowner. I don't care. The rancher, farmer, or just a landowner, I don't blame you guys for leasing your land out for wind towers. And I'm not against you. I'm just against those objects there. So so don't take me wrong. I just want to tell you that. You guys getting the money, you got to do what you got to do with the markets, the grain markets, the cotton markets, everything the way they are nowadays. It's hard. So you got to take that money. So so don't take me wrong. I'm not against you. I'm just thinking that there's a lot more to this alternative energy than we see, but we got to abide with the rules and go with it, and that's what we're doing. So if you can become a member of one of these associations, whether it's Oklahoma Farm Bureau in your county or, like I said, the OCA or other associations that are up batting for you and looking out for you in the state capital and the nation's capital. So it's well worth it because they know the ins and out. You calling President Biden ain't going to change nothing, but you sending in an email or maybe calling a local representative of one of these associations and telling them how you stand and what you think might do some good, might help some good. Cause there's some smart people out there. They just don't know they're smart. They might have an idea and they just keep it to themselves. Just like the people that says, I'm not voting. My vote ain't going to matter. Bull crap. Get her done. Well, I guess I ran my mouth for the first segment. So let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break. And when we come back, we'll get on with some ag news, if you don't mind. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Your cattle need feed. They've got to eat. So you need a reliable source of feed that won't break the bank. Kirk Feeds in Eric offers competitive prices on bulk feed at the store and delivered to your place. We also carry fence wire, T-post, gates, water tanks, and a lot more farm and ranch supplies. We get new products every week, so check back often to see if we have something else you need. We even have the Sportsman covered for all your hunting needs. Farming and ranching is in our blood, and we want to help keep agriculture strong. Kirk Feeds, 117 West 2nd Street in Erie.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate, and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August the 9th. 1,322 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 450 brought 320. 9 at 534 brought 291.50. 20 at 545 brought 292. 6 at 587 brought 283. 4 at 606 brought 271. 30 at 723 brought 244.50. 7 head of heifers at 462 brought 258. 11 at 475 brought 268. 4 at 523 brought 264, 8 at 590 brought 243, 19 at 627 brought 247.50, 11 at 720 brought 236.50, butcher cows were 84 to 166, butcher bulls brought 120 to 183, bred cows 1500 to 2885, pairs were 1500 to 2750. Elk City Livestock Auction, Elk City, Oklahoma, sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Dang, I stirred up old Yellow Jacket's nest today. We'll cover that here in a second. Canadian Texas, here's your ag weather update for out there in the Texas Panhandle. 98 degrees, feels like 100. Humidity's 32, dew point 64. The winds are out of the south-southwest at 12 miles an hour, gust 14. Peak wind gust today has been 17 miles an hour. Month to date, precipitation 1.22 inches of rain. 8-inch soil temperature 87 degrees. All right. Well, I just want to read you guys a few little quotes off the text line here. So I had a couple different people text me, and they got almost a half inch, 44 one-hundredths of an inch in Hobart. At Cooperton, they got 45 drops. And I don't know what that figures out in math, but I'm saying less than, what, 0.01? I don't know. Anyway, so remember what happened during the big freeze? No power. Wind turbines don't work in the cold for the most part. You're absolutely right. Some people are not very smart if they raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. The price of everything is going to go up, and we will be paying $27 for a hamburger, $12 for a dozen eggs. It will cost, will be passed on to the consumer. You're right. All these items you talked about are crap. They did it in California. All part of the global agenda. They are huge fails. McDonald's may leave California because they can't afford the payroll anymore. Makes prices go sky high. I'll fight any of this. So anyway, there you go. I agree with you 100%, Jimmy, about these wind turbines and solar farms. I live up here east of Custer City. They have completely ruined the countryside. I think they have too. I don't like looking at them. I go out there at night, move my side row about 11 o'clock. The stars are shining. And then I look up to the north and all I see is red blinking light. There's nothing we can do about that. That's between the wind tower company and the landowners. But I still think that there's more to it. It's just not reliable. I know we're getting a lot of our power. Like right now, we're probably getting wind power. But they're just, like the one gentleman said, or whoever the one person said, you know, are they ready for a big winter storm? Because we haven't had one in quite a while around here, major winter storms in western Oklahoma, but it's coming. And if you go up there north of Sayre in the morning when there's a lot of moisture in the air, like a fog or something, and you see those wind turbines start turning when the fog starts lifting and the winds picks up, you can just see that moisture shooting up in the air. Should be staying on the ground on that grass there. But like I said, I'm not all that very smart about it. And then the last person said, this is so important. Glad you're talking about it. And I would love to talk to people about it on the show. That's what it's about. So anyway, all right, let's see what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture, because the grain market didn't look worth crap a while ago when I looked at it. Soybean futures declined in overnight trading on rising global inventories and favorable conditions in much of the U.S. Midwest. World soybean stocks are forecast by the USDA to jump to 134.3 million metric tons in the 24-25 marketing year. That's up from 112 million in the current year. Production will surge to 428.7 million metric tons in the marketing year. This starts on September 1st. The USDA said in its report last week, that's up from a previous outlook of 421 million tons and well ahead of the 395 million tons that was harvested in the current marketing year. I still say this report is poop, cow poop. I really do. Or bull poop, however you want to look at it. I said this earlier, I think this week or last week. 1 million acres of the most prime soybean and corn acres in the Midwest was flooded out. 500,000 the next week was hailed out. I don't know where they get their stats from. Are they going off just rainfall and how many acres planted? Have they not got that figured out? I don't know if they've disastered that out yet, and that's not in the equation. And those guys pushing the buttons up there on the computers in Washington at the USDA, maybe they don't know that there was water. The corn and soybeans was under the water there along the Missouri and parts of the Mississippi for a couple months there. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm just going to tell you what they're writing. Iowa and Illinois, the largest producer of soybeans and corn in the U.S., remain free of drought. Sure, they got water over their crops. Only about 2.5% of Iowa was suffering from abnormally dry conditions in the 7 days that ended August 13th, unchanged from week to week. At the start of the calendar year, 97% of Iowa and 54% of Illinois was seeing drought or dry conditions. Rainfall is expected in the next 72 hours in parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, northern Illinois, and much of Michigan and Ohio, according to the NOAA. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 8.25 cents overnight to 9.60 and a quarter a bushel. Soy meal lost 2.60 to 305.10 a short ton, and soy oil declined 0.53 cents to 37.98 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery fell 3 cents to 3.94 a bushel. Wheat futures for September delivery overnight rose a half a penny to 5.50 and 3 quarter a bushel, while Kansas City futures fell overnight a penny and a half to 5.51 and a quarter a bushel. Corn sales hit season low as the 23-24 marketing year winds down. We got about 2 weeks left in this year's marketing year. Corn sales were reported at 120,500 metric tons, down 75% from the previous week and 66% from the prior four-week average. That is not good numbers, gentlemen and ladies. That marks the lowest level since the marketing year started last year on September 1st. Colombia was the big buyer at 147,000 tons, followed by Portugal, Honduras. Mexico even got a little load there of 28,000 tons, and Japan semi-load of 8,500 tons. Oh, I guess that's maybe a little more than a semi-load. But a John Doe country council orders of 163,000 tons in El Salvador, nicked shipments of 29,500. Sales for the 24-25 marking year came in at 800,500 tons already, according to the USDA. Corn exports for the week dropped 21% to 1.03 million tons. Wheat sales for overseas delivery actually improved week to week to 399,000, like the 100 tons being 400,000 tons. That's up 24% from the previous week, but 6% down from the average. Mexico, 126,000 ton. Yemen bought 50,000. Italy took 40,000. The Philippines got 26,000. And Thailand took 25,600 tons. Guess what? The total would have been higher, but there's another John Doe country. Council shipments of 76,600 tons. Exports for the week for wheat was 502,100 tons, up 1%. How about that? Anyway, everything's looking good there for the wheat. Not so bueno for the corn. Let's see. Check the weather out in our farm belt. Non-severe thunderstorms are forecast for parts of central Iowa throughout the afternoon, and we'll be getting into east, and let's see here, intense wells. Oh, I got a fire update come over the deal. Oh, there's a couple more fires fired up down there around Reed. They got some hot spots firing up from last night, I guess, according to my informant down there around Reed. So anyway, I bet them fire departments will get her put out there. Keep the sweet tea, ice cold sweet tea out for him, Scotty. Anyway, I'll go check on your cattle selling here in a minute. So anyway, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General store break, and we will be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
If you're a North Fork Electric member, it's time to party. The cooperative's 85th annual meeting is this Saturday under the pavilion at the Sayre City Park. Drive-through registration begins at 9 a.m. at the RV park entrance. This year's grand prize is a John Deere Z545R mower, sponsored in part by Western Equipment. Runner-up prizes include $1,000 cash, sponsored by R&R Powerline, two Makita self-propelled electric mowers, and a 75-inch TV. Be sure to register before 10 a.m. to be eligible for the grand prize drawings, and you must be present to win. Bring the whole family and enjoy delicious barbecue from Blue Mountain Smoke. Sons of the Sage will provide live music. Plus, there'll be free swimming and miniature golf and a lot of great door prizes. For more details about the 85th annual meeting this Saturday, like and follow North Fork Electric on Facebook and Instagram. Live music, free barbecue, free swimming, free miniature golf, and lots of prizes. North Fork Electric Co-op's 85th annual meeting is this Saturday in the Sayre City Park.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Harvest Equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed. At Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. I'm going to do Arnett today for our Northwestern Oklahoma Ag Weather update, and I'll tell you why here in just a second. It's 95. Feels like 98, dew point 66, humidity is 38%, and the winds are out of south, southwest at 7 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 1.41 inches of rain, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 88 degrees, sunset at 8:29, 103 and hot today. Tonight, 20% slight chance of thunderstorms, low of 70. Tomorrow, 104. And like Nathan said in the commercial there a while ago, don't forget, tomorrow's the big business meeting over at the Sayre Park starting at 10 a.m. For the North Fork Electric Co-op business meeting. Drive through, show them your card. You're checked in. You're eligible for the old lawnmower and the cash. Good stuff. Anyway, the reason why I picked Arnett was I seen on social media earlier that Jeremiah was whining about Lori being gone this weekend. But what was cool about the deal, the picture was, you need to get on Facebook and check out his Facebook page. He made these jacks for, you know how hard gates are to hang or put up some continuous fence panels. Anyway, he made some really cool jacks to do all this with. So check it out on Facebook. Matter of fact, I seen where Monty Tucker made the comment about, well, if a friend was to borrow them, he probably wouldn't return them. It's probably true fact, too. Also, there was a man from Deal City or Cordell or somewhere down in there called in during Tradio today, and Nathan was doing it. I wasn't. Jaden's got something going on. I did it yesterday, and Nathan is doing it today. I guess the grasshoppers are eating his peaches up on his peach tree. You want to know what to do about it. All right, so I'm not a fruit tree expert. I just love eating the fruit trees. So I sent in a text to the world famous Becky Carroll, OSU tree and fruit tree and pecan tree expert. She always texts me back. Anyway, she said there's really nothing specific for grasshoppers and for peaches, but there's some stuff out there that doesn't label the grasshopper control on some chemicals, so I won't mention them. So your best bet is 7 or malathion. But she made a really good point. And here's the deal. Spraying the pastures or the grasses around may help, and it would. They are so mobile, and it makes them hard to control, and they are. The small grasshoppers are really easy to get control up, and I'll say amen to that, because them grasshoppers, and what's crazy about grasshoppers is you go in there in my high tunnel every morning or at evening or whenever, them suckers are eating on jalapenos versus tomatoes, bell peppers, sweet peppers, whatever else is in there. That just tells me that there's some tough little suckers. That's all I can tell you. They're eating on them, but I have not noticed any eating on those Slim Jims, which is a version of habaneros. So I haven't seen any on there. If they are, they're probably pretty hot, and they hopped right out of the hot tunnel. But anyway, that was some thank you, Becky Carroll from the OSU Extension, for giving me that. So, yeah, if you could spray the grass, You just got to continuously stay on it, because unless all your neighbors are spraying too, like Becky said, they're very, very mobile. So anyway, let's check out the Lipscomb dealership's grain market update right now, what the current prices are. It's not great, that's all I can tell you. It's kind of depressing. September corn, it just changed on me. September corn is 370, down 4 3/4. December's 392, down 4 3/4. Soybeans for September, 938, down 13. November, 956, down 12 1/4. Soybean meal, man, just, ugh. September, 302.40, down 5.50. October's 299.40, down 5.60. Soybean oil for September is up a little bit, 39.76, up 29. October's 39.07, up 18. On a positive note here, hard red winter wheat is up 3.5 at 5.40 for September, up 3 to 5.55 for December. Oh, that's, it was down earlier today. Let's see here. I'm not even going to do cotton anymore. Them guys, I've had a couple cotton farmers told me not to even mention the price on the air because it's depressing. So I'll quit doing that. And let's see here, until next year. How's that? Crude oil out of West Texas, September, 76.68, down 148. Natural gas is down for the first time in a few days. September at 212, down 7. And looks like, the NASDAQ, S&P, and the Dow's are in the green, but just barely. They're just up there. How's that? Let's check out the meat market. Live cattle, August, 185.25 or 182.50. It just changed on me. Down 155. October's 178.30, down 245. Feeder cattle for September, 239.60, down 407. October's 235.85. down 505, and lean hogs for October, 74.82, down 167, December, 66.85, down 137. And there you have it. So get that going on. All right. So some grape producers, they're farmers. They're needing some help, so you guys need to help out. Grape growers desperately need you to drink more wine as they grapple with a glut of uncontracted grapes. So you guys need to help them out. Go to the store, buy cases of wine, put them in your cellar. It's not just a row crop farmers dealing with challenges and low prices. In California, prices are low for everything from nuts to fruits, and financial stress is weighing heavily on the farmers. Grape growers are in particularly a unique situation. Declining demand for wine and an increase in imported wine means there's a glut of grapes this year, and it's so bad there's a surge in the amount of unharvested grapes that still don't have a home. Now there are fears that it ultimately will force true family farmers out of business. Jennifer Thompson took over the family farm in 2012, and Napa Valley has broken into America's viticulture areas. Thompson's Vineyard is situated in the Las Corners, if I say that right, AVA. Thompson is one of the very few family farmers still left in Napa Valley. I think it's incredibly rare when you truly meet a family owner who's in the hands-on and drives their own tractor and is responsible for selling their own fruit and is responsible for paying the taxes on the land. And there's no middleman involved. That's a rarity in 2024, she says, especially in California. The toil she dedicated to the land runs 5 generations deep. Yet when she took over, she truly made the operation her own. She focused on plant health, mechanizing some of the labor-intensive tasks on the farm, and truly paid attention to every detail. This year, the vines are a sign of her hard work. The vines that line her vineyard are loaded with a healthy crop that sizes up nicely and mildew-free. And looking at this picture, man, they're really pretty grapes. Battling different weather each year, she says, this year, there actually hasn't been too many speed bumps in the road. Even when the heat making the headlines, a grape growing has been good in her area of California. Yet her vibrant and healthy vines aren't as full as they normally be. I made some decisions during pruning to reduce their crop load in conjunction with this being a sluggish grape selling market. In December of 23, Thompson received some gut-wrenching news. Ultimately, all of our contracts were canceled December 31st of 2023, all of them with exception of one. Thompson's Vineyards produces over 300 tons of grapes each year, and for the first time in more than a decade, two-thirds of her crop is uncontracted without a home. I have found limited and very small homes, and by that I mean I'm able to sell two to eight tons here or there. Yes, but there has been some existing clients who were smaller family-owned vineyards, wineries. Our parcels produce hundreds of tons worth of grapes. It's crazy. Walking lush vineyards and staring at young, healthy vines loaded with unsold grapes is a flashback to what area the vineyard saw 15 years ago during sort of the calm era. In the financial bust of 2008 and 2009, a similar pattern occurred in the marketplace where wineries canceled all the contracts across the board for many growers, and even those growers who had contracts were told, do not deliver those grapes to the winery. Napa Valley is known for its grape and wine production. 4% of California's wine production happens in Napa Valley. Man, that's hard stuff. That's a lot of grapes. 300 tons of grapes. That's a lot of grapes and filler pain out there. So anyway, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break. We'll come back. I'll talk about them and give you the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Are you tired of navigating the digital jungle all on your own? Look no further than innovative technology in Elk City. Running a business in today's fast-paced world can be overwhelming, but our experienced IT professionals are here to lighten the load. Whether you're in education, energy, finance, or any other industry, we've got your back with our IT solutions. Safeguard your business with our cutting-edge internet security, reliable internet phone lines, and top-notch security camera networks. Your business's digital fortress starts here. Need on-site support? We're just a short drive away. From computer repair to network installation, we've got you covered. Worried about cyber threats? Our cybersecurity awareness and training will keep your team ahead of the curve. Don't let technology overwhelm you. Call us at 580-243-1559 to discover how our 40-plus years of service can transform your business. Visit Innovative Technology at 105 Carter Road in Elk City or check us out online at itlpros.com.
Alignment is very important. I mean, it causes the wear on your tires. So if you just let it go, the tires, instead of saying a 60,000 miles, will only last 30,000 or 40,000. It's called toe. It's where the tires are pigeon-toed. They're turned in, they're turned out. One may be one way, one may be the other. We always shake down the front end to make sure there's no loose parts, because our roads are so nice and smooth out here that they do get some parts that wear out a little quicker. Uneven wear, edge wear, and shaking. Rough roads, potholes, constructions, and riding in the country. It all is tough on your vehicle. We have a gentleman who's been here nearly 11 years, very knowledgeable, knows what's going on. We probably average 5 alignments a day. Something, honestly, needs to probably be done every year. L&R Tire, 1204 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma.
The home of Bridgestone Firestone Tires.
At L&R Tire, we'll take good care of your vehicle.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Kent Watkins here, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. It is time for fall cover crop seed. This is a critical step in the growing process. Remember, keep it covered. Stop by SEI Agritech to get all your fall cover crop seed. In addition to that, we are now contracting winter cattle kits, another very important part of livestock management. Come see me. Let's get all your fall seed and your winter feed contracts done. All here at SEI Agritech in Elk City, located on South Randall.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here we go. Was that a little loud there? Let me turn that down a little bit. Sorry. Eric, Oklahoma, here is your ag weather update for the Hobart Farm and Garden. 100 degrees, feels like 103. Heat risk is moderate. Dew point 64, humidity's 31. The winds are out of south or west southwest at 10 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 16. 10-day rain total, 1 inch even. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 92 degrees. Sunset at 8:27. 104 for a high today. 20% chance of thunderstorms tonight. 73 for a low. I'm just going to tell you. Tomorrow, it's just not going to be a great day to be hanging outside mowing the yard or anything, but it'd be a good day to be by the pool, 107 and hot. She's going to be warm tomorrow for sure. Well, the Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. It's actually a go-to store from over here, too. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They've been a Hi-Pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, yeah, and even New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, they look forward to serving you. How about that? Okay. Let's see here. Oh, I wanted to talk about it yesterday, but I didn't have time. Anyway, the guy that set the soybean record last year, what was it, 206 point something bushels, 4 bushels of soybeans, he did it again. Georgia farmer Alex Harrell crushed his own previous record of 206 bushels at 218 bushels. That's pretty thick soybeans. Alex has shattered the world record for soybeans with a bin-busting 218.2856 bushels per acre. Not only has he broken his own previous record of 206, he's done it back-to-back. The 34-year-old farmer farms about 4,000 acres with his father, Rodney, in Lee and Sumter counties north of Albany, Georgia. He raises corn, soybeans, wheat, and watermelons. And farms to push yield on every acre. Where is that at? It's south of Atlanta there. It's, I don't know, southwestern Georgia, I guess, to say that. In 2024, Harold planted Pioneer's new Z-Series P49Z02E. You guys got that? P49Z02E. On the single 30-inch rows with a seeding rate of 110,000 seeds per acre. And a final stand of 105,000 plants per acre. This is the increase in the seeding rate and final stand from the 23 record. The P49Z02 Enlist is a brand new Z-Series product from Pioneer, says Luke Davies, U.S. marketing lead for Pioneer. We are really excited about what Alex was able to do with it. I'd be too if it set the world record. Bigger and seed size in the standard production fields are what led Harold to try Pioneer variety in this yield plot this season. They came to me to partner and try the Z-Series in a high-yield environment. We were impressed with what we saw last year and even more impressed this year. Well, that makes sense. He made more than he did last year. Soybean variety wasn't the only thing that Harold changed up in 2024. We went from one brand of soybean to another company, different genetic traits, different herbicide traits. Harold said, that's what makes it cool to me. In other words, he's experimenting. We're not done. It's twice on different soil types, different populations, different seed companies, you know, 15 miles apart. It's not like we just have a magic feel that we've done this on. Here's a closer look at the practices, products, and weather conditions that shaped his record-setting crop. Planning for a bumper crop. In 2024, the previous crop was corn, and after harvest, a wheat cover crop was planted. While less than the previous season, the field received 2 tons of chicken litter. Harrell operated a double-strip till planting with a deep pass, first followed by a shallow pass ahead of the planter. The seed was accompanied by a mix of nutrients, humic acid, PGRs, and a lot of other stuff in furrow using a 3x3 system. The field of record-setting soybeans was planted March the 21st, 30-inch row spacings, but increased the seeding rate from 85,000 from last year to 110,000 this year. We went to a higher population to prevent limbs breaking off, he explained, but with a higher population, we had entire plants lodging over in those high-yield environments. With that much weight on the plants, you're going to have to deal with some lodging, he said. Growing season, he pulled samples every Monday to measure fertility, trends, and balances. Within days, plants' needs could be addressed with application using wide drops and drones. Irrigation allowed Harold to keep adequate moisture during the hot, dry spell in June. Fortunately, we were past the heavy blooming stage and were in the grain field during the extreme heat, he said. Weeds were managed with all kinds of post-emergence applications of Enlist and glyphosate. My wife didn't want to hear that. But anyway, foliar fungicides and insecticides were applied multiple times throughout the season to stay ahead of the insects and diseases. 10 days prior to harvest, I guess that's a desiccant, was applied. Anyway, hats off to that man. He's given a deal. He is giving it up. He loves it. Good. We need to do something out here. Who's ready to set some kind of record? What kind of record? Most alfalfa off one field? Can we do that? Anyway, the West Nile's virus is really high right now, according to cases are really high in Texas right now, according to the Texas A&M. AgriLife Extension. Mosquito bites escalate beyond itchy annoyance to a potentially deadly threat. So anyway, there's some staying informed about it is one of the things they're talking about local mosquito activity, and taking preventive measures can help you and keep you and your family safe from potential dangers of the West Nile virus. What are the symptoms of the West Nile virus? High fever, skin rash, fatigue, headache, neck stiffness, muscle weakness, and extreme cases, convulsions, numbness, and coma. So everybody needs to keep out a lookout for that. Here's how the West Nile virus is spread. He said the West Nile virus is circulated in an environment between birds and mosquitoes and the Kuklux family, I think is what that, which are found throughout Texas and actually out here in western Oklahoma. Infected mosquitoes can spread the virus to humans, horses, and some birds, leading to a range of disease symptoms and negative health effects. The virus cannot spread from person to person or in between animals, except in very rare cases, unless direct bodily fluid transmissions like blood transfusions. It doesn't say nothing that you can't kiss your wife goodbye in the morning with the big old smack on the lips. So it doesn't say nothing about that. So just protect your family against that. Long sleeve shirts. I know you don't want to hear that when it's 107 outside, but a lot of your old timers, they'll wear them long sleeve shirts out there. Anyway, Let's see here. Oh, yep. Here we go. I got to put this out for Lieutenant James. Hunting regulation book should be out no later than the early part of next week at various stores around the area. The electronic version, which I have on my phone, are always available online by scanning the QR code on the poster that they put out, or just go to www.wildlifedepartment.com/hunting/regs, or just download that app. What is it called? Go Outdoors on your phone. It's so easy. Just download that app. It's a free app and get it on there. What is the best for vegetable gardens to ET grasshoppers? Man, my dogs pick the grasshoppers off the plants in my high tunnel, as I don't want to spray anything in there. So pick them, smash them, eat them. They're really good dipped in chocolate. That's all I can tell you. Anyway, I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Don't forget the Elite Auctions, the Elk City Farmers and Ranchers Fall Auction is tomorrow here at Elk City next to the Sale Barn. And North Fork Electric's having their business meeting tomorrow. It's there. You guys have a great weekend. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank Trust, Elk City, Sayre, Oklahoma.
Flashlight on your keychain, helping you get the job done.
96.5 K.